Tuesday, the 16th of September, Teth Zayin Elul, Rabbi Leibish Heller, Bikurim.
Rabbi Isai, he gave the title Bikurim, but I just want to make a disclaimer from the start. We're going to learn one line in Rashi. We're going to spend half an hour learning one line in Rashi, and I must tell you in advance, there will be no lumbus, no big, flashy, glamorous tradition, and no major inspiration. After half an hour, we'll walk away with Havana in Rashi. That's it. I think a Havana that's more Karev al HaEmes to the way this Rashi is normally learned. That agreed. We're spoiled nowadays. A Shir has to have something very glamorous, a big Chiddush, a big Lumdus, or something very inspirational. We have to value chat. Nice. You have a more accurate chat at the end of 5 hours of learning, even though there's no chidushim you can put into your chiveres, you can't print it, you can't... That's valuable. Invaluable. So let's start the first Rashi in this week's Pasha. The Pasuk says, V'hoyo ki sovoy el ha'oretz. Should come to pass when you come to the land. Asher Hashem elokecha noitzen lecha nachalo. Which oretz? The oretz that Hashem elokecha noitzen lecha nachalo. V'yirishto v'yashafto bo. How do we translate these words? V'yirishto, you will inherit it. V'yashafto bo, you will settle in it. You will inhabit the land. Then comes Pasuk Beis, V'lakachto medeshes kol pri ha'adama. And for the first two portions of this week's Pasha till Shlishi, it's all about the halachas of Bikurim. So Moshe Rabbeinu is telling Klal Yisrael that when they come into Eretz Yisrael, they're going to be mechuyev b'Bikurim. The mitzvah, a new mitzvah that's being shared with Klal Yisrael here. Now, what they should do with the Peiris and what they should say, the whole Amir that they said, and where they should bring it, and so on. It was a whole ceremonious procession. If you have the artistic vision, Bikurim L'Chayra would seem to be one of the most graphic ceremonies of Klal Yisrael. The way they went from town to town, and the way they came with the baskets till they arrived in the Beis HaMikdash. Now Rashi, the first Rashi, you have the second quote over here on the page. V'hoyo ki sovoy, v'yirishto v'yashafto bo. Says Rashi, and I read word for word, Magid shelo nischayvu bibikurim asher kivshu es ha'oretz v'chilkuho. Asher kivshu es ha'oretz v'chilkuho. Magid, this comes to tell us that they were not nischayev bibikurim until they conquered the land and they divided the land. So what's Rashi saying here? What is Rashi telling us? What is Rashi informing us that we wouldn't have known otherwise? There wasn't this Rashi. If you read the pasuk, what would you say? When should they become chayiv v'bikurim? In Egypt.
Immediately.
Oh, immediately.
Yeah.
Oh, very good. L'chayiv it's come immediately. Why would I say immediately? The pasuk says v'yirishto v'yashafto bo. What? V'yirishto is going on the land. It's a matik hay. What?
Oh,
you're right. He's suggesting that maybe immediately, yes, you find the pomegranate tree and you're, yeah. What? No, immediately upon entering the land. No, immediately upon entering. It's impossible to be a lord. No, there has to be a lord. So what's Rashi coming to be Moishif here? You could suggest that Rashi is touching the words. Rashi's telling us Yerisha and Yeshiva means Kibush and Chalukah. Problem is the first word in Rashi is Magid. What does Magid mean? Rashi teaches the word. Rashi would have quoted the words V'yirishto V'yashaftovo She'tichbishuho V'tichalkuho. That's what Yerusha means. That's what Yeshiva means. But Rashi says Magid. What does Magid mean? What does the word Magid mean? Magid means it's coming to tell us something. There's a Haggadah here. He's not teaching what the Pasuk is saying. On top of the words of the Pasuk, the Pasuk is actually communicating something additional. You have to tie up. What is being magid? What is coming to tell us? What are these words coming to tell us? You know what it's coming to tell us? But what do you need a magid for? That's what it says in the pasuk. It says in the pasuk, Yerusha v'yeshiva. And arguably, Yerusha v'yeshiva cannot mean anything other than kibush v'chaluka. These are just synonyms for the same thing. Yerusha means to inherit. It's a nice way of saying to conquer. Not sure that they sat passively and inherited. Avraham Avinu already inherited the land. Yerusha means to conquer the land. Yeshiva can only happen when there's chalukah. How do you yeshiva? Each person was designated his part, and then there was yeshiva.
So if Rashi was only typing the words, okay, he would have said so. we would then have to declare how would we have another taich. But Rashi clearly tells us from the onset that he's not here to taich. He's giving us a haggadah. He's telling us what the pasuk is communicating with these words, beyond this simplistic translation of the words. So the Mefarshim Shelduch over here already, the Mizrahi, the Sifrei Chachamim, and they say that Rashi is bothered. Rashi has a problem. Rashi has a problem that these words in the pasuk are entirely redundant, they're extra. They're not necessary, they don't belong there. Because the very third word in the parsha, or the second and third, kisavoi, what does the word kisavoi mean? What does kisavoi mean? What is the type of kisavoi when you come to the land? You could argue that maybe it means when the last person passes the border, that's already considered the Kal Yisrael was Savoy, they came into the land. But we know from elsewhere that Kisavoy always means after Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Kisavoy could never mean anything other than Yerusha V'Yeshiva. We learned this from another pasuk. And Rashi says so clearly, if you take a look in the next quote on the page, the pasuk in Pasha Shlav, do it Chala. It says, "Daber el bnei Yisrael v'amarta aleihem bivoyachem el ha'oretz." Bivoyachem, upon your entering the land, not as you arrive in the land, but bivoyachem el ha'oretz. Ashani maybe etzem shama. Says Rashi, "Bivoyachem el ha'oretz, mishuna biyozu mikol biyoshe b'toira." This biyo, this entering, this arrival, this coming to the land is different to all the other coming to the land. Shebekulam ne'ma kisavay kisavayu lefichach kulam lemeidos zu mizu. The cave and shepirit l'chakosu ba'achas mehem she'ena el al'ach yirush of yeshiva av kulon kain. Whatever the Torah says, kisove kisovoi, it always means yirush of yeshiva. That's the definition of the word to come. If I come to China as a tourist, I haven't come to China. I'm passing it through China. I have to be in China, but I haven't arrived. I haven't come. To come, in the definition of the Torah, to be ba'el ha'aretz means that you're here. You're here to stay. You're settled. You're situated here. You had a bia here. Yes, you've come. You're here in the land. That's what the taich bia means. We learned this from a yitur. The yitur is, by the way, not from our pasuk. The yitur is by a mitzvah minui melech, where the Torah says, kisavoy, and it says, virishta v'yashavta. So we learn from there that every time it says kisavoy, it means yirusha and yeshiva. Avol zu says, Rashi nema ba bevayachem, mishenichasu ba ba'ochlu milachman, ischai v'bachalo. So therefore, the Torah says bevayachem and not kisavoy, because the word kisavoy, by definition, would have to mean yirusha v'yeshiva. And mitzvah chala is a chayva that's immediately upon achilas chala. So you don't have to wait for 14 years. So therefore, it says bevayachem. Oy bazoy, Rashi has a problem. It says in the pasuk kisavoy. Kisavoy means yirusha v'yeshiva. And then the pasuk says yirusha v'yeshiva. Why? These are extra words. So Rashi says, Magi, come to tell us. But what's it coming to tell us? Here's the question. What's it coming to tell us? Can anybody tell me, what are the words Yirusha V'Yeshiva coming to tell us? What is it coming to tell us? We know it's coming to say something on top of the simple translation. Because whatever Yirusha V'Yeshiva means is already included in Kisavoy. So Yirusha V'Yeshiva is coming to say something additional to Kisavoy. What is that? So Rashi goes on and translates that Yirusha V'Yeshiva means Kibush V'Chaluka. Kibush V'Chaluka, if that's what Yirusha V'Yeshiva means, then that's included in Kisavoy. So what are we learning from these words Yirusha V'Yeshiva? That's really the issue that we're here to discuss today. In addition, just some small diyukim in the words of Rashi, there seems to be some extra words here in the Rashi. Rashi says, "Shalini chayv bebikuri machekish rosh artichiko." We know we're talking about bikurim. Should have said, "Shalini chayv ba" or "Shalini chayv ad yirusha v'yeshiva." Why bebikurim? And also, "Achek kapshu esaoretz v'chilkuha." Those words esaoretz v'chilkuha are not necessary in Rashi. The word "ba," the last word of pasuk aleph, we know what it means. What does it mean? Yirusha v'shafta ba. What is the ba going on? Obviously, on the aretz. That's not the issue. That's not what Rashi is coming to explain. Rashi is coming to explain what the Yirish of Yishavta is adding. Why do we have to touch as a Oret? Alright, that's Tam Ha'oret, which maybe will become clarified at the end of it all. So the Sifrei Chachamim suggests the following. Sifrei Chachamim says, you're right. Yerusha and Yeshiva mean Kibush and Chalukah, like Rashi said, that's what it always means. And the truth is, the Torah is saying the same thing twice. Kisavoy says Yerusha V'Yeshiva, and then the Torah repeats Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Why so? Why would the Torah say it twice? So he says a tremendous chiddush. tremendous chiddush. And today I'm going to suggest an alternative chat, not my chat. I'm going to suggest an alternative chat, which is, I would think is maybe more in the words of Rashi. He says like this. He says, even though Kisove always means Yerusha V'Yeshiva, I would have thought that Bikurim should be an exception. By Bikurim, we should teach Kisove differently to the way we normally do. Why so? By Bikurim, we would think that the mitzvah, the Chayva, is Chal immediately upon the Knesset Lares. Why so? Because Bikurim, he says, is a mitzvah of it's a mitzvah that is a precedent, it has to precede the Hanah from Peiros Haaretz. You're going to have Hanah from Peiros Haaretz, you have to bring Bikurim. And you're going to have Hanah prior to Yerusha and Chalukah, Yerusha and Yeshiva. You can have Hanah earlier. So we would think, based on the Svara, Zilbashar Taimah, the time of Bikurim, it's a prerequisite, it's a matir. That's how the Sifrei Chachamim learns. The truth is, this in itself is a chiddush, because we don't find anywhere that Bikurim is a matir, like Chal, like Omer, certainly not like Bechas Hanani, that's Osir to Binana before Bikurim. First, the Mishnah says the person can make his whole Sada Bikurim. Bikurim is a mitzvah b'fnei atzmo. But the Sifrei Chachamim learns that it's a matir. If it's a matir, so it's due both the time law that maybe the mitzvah should be Chal immediately upon Knesset Lares. So therefore, the Torah has to reiterate that, no, I mean literally Kisavoyu. Don't mistranslate Kisavoyu here because of the context. Kisavoyu means Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Atkan, the Pshat of the Sifrei Chachamim. It gives us an understanding of what's going on here, but there are a few problems with this. First of all, if that was the intent of Rashi, why would Rashi change the words Yerusha V'Yeshiva to Kibush and Chalukah? He should have said Magid, that it means Yerusha V'Yeshiva, whatever Yerusha V'Yeshiva means anywhere. Here we would have thought that the mitzvah should be backdated even prior to Yerusha V'Yeshiva. So when it says Yerusha V'Yeshaftaba, it means literally Yerusha V'Yeshiva. Why does he have to give different words? That's number one. And number two, B'chalal Tachidish to say that Aldas Atzmeinu, we're not Deirish time of the Kro. The Pshimin is Deirish time of the Kro, that we on our own would change the Taich of Kisavoyu because of the time of mitzvah Bikurim in Asvara. If that's what Kisavoyu means, then that's what it says. And third of all, by Challah, Rashi says clearly that if the Torah would have said Kisavah, it would have been immediately. And Challah is definitely a matir. Challah hasn't been tevil prior to Afrosh of Challah. If it would have said Kisavah, Rashi says that the Chiyuv would have been Chal straight away. So we wouldn't have had this for. So I'll call upon him. What? No, if the Torah would have said, if it wouldn't have said, it would have been Chal after 14 years. Correct. Even though in a Svara, you could have argued just like Bikurim and Shechal straight away. Rabbi Isai, the thing is like this. Yerusha and Chalukah Sa'aretz took a total of 14 years. 7 years of Yerusha and 7 years of Chalukah. That's what it took. That's the time it took. Took time. Now here's the question. I want to ask you a question. Let's assume, Certainly, Yerusha, Chalukah Sa'aretz, there will have been people who were already received their chelek in year number 8, whilst the others will only receive it 7 years later, right? At year 14. So there were some people that were Yerush before other people, that's for sure. Some people that were Yerushevba before other people. It's quite likely, quite possible, I don't know if this is correct, but it's quite likely that there could have been people that were Yiddish even before the kibush of the entire earth. So let's say they were Kibush the north, and that territory is already fully conquered. They were Yiddish that already. So maybe there was already a V'yashasaba in that part of Eretz Yisrael prior to the kibush of the rest of Eretz Yisrael. So here comes the question, Rabbi Yisai. What happens if a certain individual, the Bianco, he was already Yoshev in his field somewhere in the Negev? And he's growing pomegranate trees. So I'm asking you this. For that person, is that considered that the Oretz was V'yarashto V'yashavtobo, yes or no? What? No. Oh. Arguably, yes. When the Torah is talking a mitzvah to Klal Yisrael as a tzibur, to the entire collective of the Jewish people, the Torah is saying, like by Minui Melech, where the Torah says, if you look in Parsha Shoftim, in Perek Yizayin, Pasuk Yudalet, right, the fifth quote on the page, Kisavoy Ol Haaretz Asher Hashem Elokecha Noitzen Loch V'Yirishto V'Yashavto Bo V'Amarto Atimo Alayim Melech Yichol Agoyim Asher Tzivoy Yisai. Over there, It's clear that the Yerusha and Chalukah that the Torah is talking about there means the Chalukah of the entire Eretz Yisrael, the Yerusha of the entire Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because who is the Torah talking to? When you're going to come, who is he referring to? To Klal Yisrael. Mitzvah Minui Melech is a mitzvah on Klal Yisrael. So Yerusha and Yeshiva Klape Minui Melech has to mean Yerusha of Kol Eretz Yisrael. Yeshiva of Kol Eretz Yisrael. Because the people who are doing this mitzvah, or the Navi is doing it on their behalf, have to have entirely been Yoidish and Yoshiv and Eretz Yisrael. But mitzvah Bikurim, which is a mitzvah on every Yochid, there could have been a tzad to say that your Yerusha and Chalukah already constitutes Yerusha and Yeshiva. Yes, but that's talking to the collective of Klal Yisrael in a singular term. As one unit, Klal Yisrael. Rashi is telling us the following. Rashi is saying like this. And it can mean nothing else, and we would never have thought that it means anything else. But we may have thought that it means your individual Yerusha Yeshiva. Your Yerusha Yeshiva. Your Yerush, your Yoshev. That already complies with Kisavayu. Or Kisavayu. Your individual Kisavayu is complete. It's Kisavayu. Why does the Torah repeat? V'yirishta v'yashafta bo magid. Magid to tell us, there's a Yitur here. A Yitur has to come to tell us something. Magid, but you have to be Kovish as Kol Haaretz. You have to be Yoshev as Kol Haaretz. Says the Rashi, Atcha Kofshu as Haaretz v'chimku ha. And that's the Diuk in the Pasuk. V'yirish tov yishav tovah. The Mapik hey in Yirish tov. You have to conquer the entire land. Kisa voyu el Haaretz by definition means to enter the land, to conquer it and inhabit it. And Kibush and Chalukah is the only definition of Yerusha and Yeshiva. But the question is, kibush of chalukah of kol haaretz, or kibush of your chalik? The chalukah of your chalik. Rashi says that over here, it has to mean the whole of Klal Yisrael. Why? Because the Torah repeated. If the Torah would not have repeated it, obviously, Kitavay would mean the same thing, but it would mean with regard to you. That's Pashup Shat in Rashi. The question though becomes this. The question is this. What's Takad Havana? Why? Why? Okay, I said earlier we're not Deirish time to crow. Could be Deirish HaKosov. But why? If we say that Mitzvah Bikurim is a mitzvah of Hakaras HaToiv. Hakaras HaToiv. Hakaras HaToiv, we learn from Bikurim, has to be an act of showing recognition that these payers that you have are not coming to you. You were once a slave in Mitzrayim that deserved nothing. And it's not the result of your efforts and your toil. It's coming from Shamayim. It's a brachim in Hashamayim, and you have to recognize that prior to indulging in it. That's the act. And Rashi says later on, if you take a look, Ashiyeh bayami mahem, Eilucha kain shebayamecha, k'meshu, that's the first Rashi, v'amarta eilov, she'eincha kofui toivo. You're not a kofui toivo. So why should you have to wait until 14 years later, and in the meantime, eat from your payas? If the time is mitzad kfius toivo, then what's the heter to be a kofui toivo over these 14 years? So Rabbeisai, the Chefsha, Rashi says later on, we know it's from the Pesukim, that the truth is that Bikurim is not Hakaras HaToiv for Toiv. Somebody had an apple tree in Eretz Yisrael, he didn't have to bring those apples to Yerushalayim to give Hakaras HaToiv. It's Hakaras HaToiv for Shleimus HaToiv, for a complete Toiv. That's why Dafke Peidish Nishtapchu Be'em Eretz Yisrael. That's why Dafke Bizman Simcha. That's why you can only bring one Pam Echaz Bashono, like Shechiyonu, which has the simcha, the speciality of this toiv. You're emphasizing the what's unique, the novelty of this toiv. Every toiv we give thanks in other ways, we make a birchas hananim. Bikurim means the shleimus ha-toiv. Rabbeisai, state so impossible that a yid who is living somewhere in his town and he settles and he's growing beautiful vines and pomegranates and olives and wheat and whatever else. But there's another yid who's still in a displaced persons camp. Someone else over there is still a refugee. He still hasn't been settled. That is a matziv in which you cannot demonstrate, you cannot declare that you have complete toiva. There's something lacking in your toiva. When could you have shleimus ha-toiv when everybody else has toiva? Kol zman is not the Yerusha v'chalukah of kol haaretz. You yourself are also lacking. You yourself are not complete. You cannot say that you're in a state where of complete toiva. You haven't reached that yet. Only once every member of Klal Yisrael is settled, Yerusha of a Chalukah of Kol Haaretz, only then is there a real Hakaras HaToiv. Is there a real Toiv to be Makir? Because we're all interconnected, and if someone is lacking, we're all lacking. But Yisrael, I just want to share with you, I told you it was going to be a half an hour of Pshat and Rashi, but there's still time. So I just want to share with you a very beautiful Pshat of the Baal Shem Tov on the same pasuk, printed in Kesef Shem Tov in the Ritzof, it's in the back, which is from a totally different angle. Yeah, this is not Pshat. We're moving from Pshat to Remez or to Soit or beyond. It says like this. It says, V'haya kisavay el ha'aretz. And if there's time, we'll go to the next thing over here on the page, Hashem Hamircha. V'haya kisavay el ha'aretz as Hashem alikach ha'noitmach ha'nachlo v'yirishta v'yashafta bo. V'lokachta m'reishis kol priya adama. So Baal Shem Tov teaches, we know every word in the Torah, every part of the Torah has Remez and has Soit. Interestingly, in this week's Parsha Kisavoy, the Toichocha, right? Toichocha, the most brutal words of the entire Torah. Of Pisoid, we know that it's precisely in those portions that there lies the greatest brachas in the Torah. Soit can never override Pshat. Pshat always remains. But Soit can work in tandem. There's a Pshat and there's a Soit. They're both true in their own worlds, in their own realms. The greatest brachas I had in my shul on Tisha B'Av, we read from a sefer called Nechamas Tzion, a Meiridige sefer from the Ben Ish Chai, which I had never seen before. Ben Ish Chai has many svarim, but this is a sefer on Eicha, and he goes through the entire Eicha, pasuk by pasuk, showing how it's all brachas. He says in the Akdam, he says, Mashiach is going to come, what's going to happen? Kisvei HaKodesh, what are we going to read? It's going to be a history book, something in the past, something that's outdated. He says, no, the same sukkim we're going to read. But we're going to read it from a different angle. So the Marshal, he says, Eicha Yashva Badod, Ha'ir HaVasiyam. What does it mean, Yashva Badod? It's a clover. Shalayim was the metropolis. Shalayim was the epicenter of the whole world. Shalayim was the Paris, the New York. Shalayim was what everybody came to. It, not only for spiritual purposes, for economic, for... Shalayim HaMelech, Malka Shiva came to give him Matanis. This was the center of the world. Everybody understood that this is the Makir where all the Hashpoyis come into the world, come through Yerushalayim. That was clear. They were all secondary. Came the Churban and Kal Yisrael was alive. There was nothing left. Yerushalayim became Shmama. It wasn't even an entity. It wasn't even a far. It was nothing. And Kal Yisrael became insignificant, at least from an observable point of view. Says the Ben Ish Chai, when you read the pasuk, Eishcha Yoshva Bodo Ve'ir Avasiyam, you'll say, ah, how beautiful is Yerushalayim. Yoshva Bodot. It's not dependent on anyone or anything. Most countries for their survival need other countries. You know, the world is trying to isolate Iran. You make an embargo. You make sanctions. It won't tell you this. It won't tell you that. You're not going to survive. Yerushalayim Yoshva Bodot. It doesn't need anyone. It's not dependent on anyone. It has its own resources. It can survive. It can look after itself. It can sustain itself. And it goes pasuk after pasuk. What it means as a bracha. Al-Gopanim, this is all in parentheses. So the Baal Shem Tov says over here, V'hoya kisavei el ha'aretz, asher Hashem alikecha noisim lecha nachlo, v'yirishto v'yashachta bo. Aretz, the Medrash says, Eretz, and particularly Eretz Yisrael, is al-shem sherotzis olasis ritzoyim koina. Aretz means a desire. There's a desire. Baal Shem Tov says that every single Yid, without exception, has a desire and a burning desire in his soul. He has a desire. It could be that he's not consciously aware of it. Yeah? People tell you that Freud discovered the subconscious 100 years ago in the Gemara already. The Gemara says, Apopi the Iuloi Chazi, Mazalayu Chazi. Person, my time at the beast, why were they afraid? They didn't understand, but there's something deeper within them that understood what they themselves in their minds didn't understand. So every person has a Ratzin. And that Ratzin is a Ratzin L'Hashem Alekecha. So Ratzin for Hashem Alekecha, a desire to connect to Hashem. Now, sometimes it comes to be Yerusha. It's not your effort. You didn't do anything for it. You suddenly feel aroused. You feel connected. You feel a desire to connect to Hashem. So he says, "V'hoya kisavi el ha'aretz Hashem lekecha noitzmucha nachlo." It's a nachlo that you received as Yerusha min Hashemayim. V'yoshafta bo, v'lokachto mereishis kol pi adama v'samta batene. V'yoshafta bo. Don't let it pass. Don't take it as something that comes and goes. V'yoshafta bo. Inherit it. Make it something that has habitants within yourself. Give it a yeshivus in yourself. The samta batena, make kalim, do acts that can sustain it, that can keep it in place. That's the yirishta v'yashavta bo. The aretz is Hashem alekecha noitzmucha. Not to your credit. But you have to take it and make it part of you and bring it into yourself. Mamazin in this week's parsha, in the end, if you look towards the bottom, over here the pasuk says, "Es Hashem hamarta hayoyim liyis l'chole likim." Right? So this is also a gan to Rashi, what's taich hem marta? Very strange Rashi. Rashi comes with a whole arichas loy matosi loy eid b'mikra, and Rashi says he did fine. Second shot. Okay. But then it says, "Vashem hemircha." You see it? Four quotes from the bottom of the page in the middle. Pasuk Yitzayin starts, "Es Hashem hamarta hayoyim, Vashem hemircha." Now these psukim are quoted in the Gemara in Brachas Davov Amud Aleph. The Marsha brings in relation to these psukim, "Es Hashem hamarta Vashem hemircha." He says, this is like the pasuk in Shir HaShirim. Which pasuk? Ani l'doidi v'doidi li. We selected Hashem and Hashem selected us. We turn to Hashem and Hashem responds to us. The Rashba, it's not in the Chidush HaRashba and Brachis, it's the Rashba and the Inyankis, and now the Mitzvah of Kuk put out the Chidush HaRashba and Hagodah is Hashas. It seems that with different Kisrayad on Hagodah, like in addition to only on the Agadah. So the Rashba brings the pasuk doidi li v'ani loy. Doidi li v'ani loy. Al-Khari should have brought the pasuk ani le doidi v'doidi li. It seems like the Rashba learned the following. The Rashba learned, "Es Hashem hamarta hayoyim." A Yid distinguishes, a Yid selects, a Yid chooses for his b'chira only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Why? Where did that come from? Where do you have that koyach? Why do you think that you have chosen this path? Why do you think that you are pursuing this one truth? Why? Because you're so clever? No, because Hashem hemircha. Yeah. Even though the pasukim say it in this direction, first it talks about Klal Yisrael, then it talks about Hashem, but the Hashem hemircha yem explains the Hashem hamarta. Doidi li, and therefore ani loy. It's Hashem hamarta because Hashem hemircha. Now here's the question. We'll finish with this. We see this mahalach of the Rashba, that we're talking about Klal Yisrael being boicher b'Hashem, and that comes because Hashem hemircha. So again, let me just clarify this. If we say that a Yid does Torah mitzvah, as a result, Hashem gives him whatever school his Klal Yisrael has, whatever special treasures Klal Yisrael has. Yeah? So it's a response to our Torah mitzvah. But according to the way that Rashba learns, and the Tzat in the Pasuk of Doidi Li V'ani Loy, it means that prior to having done Torah mitzvah, Hashem has already given us that strength, that power, that ability, that special nachla, that we should be doing Torah mitzvah. What is the nature of that something? What virtue, what value does Klal Yisrael have prior to doing Torah mitzvah? So we hear one more Rashi, Rabbi saying. We'll finish with this. Rashi on the pasuk says, "Kasher dibaloch." You see in pasuk Yitches, it says, "Hashem hamircha ayim kasher dibaloch." Where is it kasher dibaloch? The Torah says in this week's parsha, "Hashem hamircha ayim kasher dibaloch." What does kasher dibaloch mean? He's already selected you in the past. Where do we find kasher dibaloch? So Rashi says in the parsha, I didn't quote it on this page, like it says, "Ve'yisem li skula." Like the pasuk says in Shmoyt, "Ve'yisem li skula mikol ha'amim." If you look up Rashi over there, Rashi teaches the word skula. What does that mean, skula? What does "ve'yisem li skula" mean? Rashi says something. He says the following. Look in the last quote over here. It says, he brings the pasuk, "Oitzer chaviv skulas malachim kli yoker v'avonim feivish ha'malachim goyim zimoyisam." What is Rashi being moisif over here? Shamalachim goyim zimoyisam. So again, I saw a pshat. It's not my pshat. It's a very beautiful pshat, Rabbi Yisai. There are various types of treasures that the king would have. One would be reserves, cash, gold, money, usable money that you can use for the sake of a crisis. If something terrible happens, of course, this is not ever, we never plan to use it. But it's a treasure that will serve a purpose in the future. Maybe someday there'll be a siege, there'll be a hunger, there'll be a devastation, there'll be a natural disaster, so we'll have something to call on. We'll have that extra security. That is not avonim tovus. That's money. Then there are avonim tovus. Avonim tovus serve a purpose. What do they serve? They glorify the kings, the monarchy. Melech b'yofi tachzenei necha. There's a crown, and the crown has beautiful jewels. The crown jewels make you exalt and value the kingdom. But then there's a third category. Stones, precious stones, and they're not on the queen, on the crown jewels, they're buried in the ground. What purpose do they serve? What purpose do they serve? They're never going to be spent, they're never going to be squandered, and they currently don't serve a purpose. What do they do for the king that he has these treasures buried in the ground? Rabbi said, you know what they do for him? The very fact that he has them gives him pleasure. Not because of what you're going to do for me. Not because of what you can offer me.
just the fact that you exist. The Gemara says, "Ein ben David ba'at shetich l'kol ha'neshama shebeguf." Mashiach will come, and all the neshamas of Klai Yisrael will come down into this world. So what does that mean? That they'll come down into this world and they'll do mitzvahs? It seems from the Gemara that the very fact that there's a Yidin Klai Yisrael, another Yidin Klai Yisrael, gives the Eibush a tremendous timing. That's the Ve'yisem Liskula. The Ve'yisem Liskula, Rashi teaches, is just a Jew is precious. A Jew is precious by his very essence. Not conditioned upon what he does. Obviously, he has a mission that he has to complete. And he's liable for not doing so if he doesn't. But on top of that, beyond that, the very essence of Klal Yisrael, that's the Ve'yisem Liskula. Hashem Hemircha Hayoyim Liyisraelam Sgula. The Klal Yisrael are a school, the Klal Yisrael are tired, have chavivus, or itzer chaviv shel hamelech, which is gonna, not because you glorify my crown, not because you're gonna serve me sometime in the future, that is the only sole basis for your preciousness, but your very essence is precious. Wait, thank you very much.